Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 12 tonight. 2 Samuel chapter number 12, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 15. We're still dealing with the word fruitful, and we're on the letter T tonight. Last week we dealt with the letter U. Does anybody remember what the letter U stood for? Excuse me? The ugly spirit, exactly. Tonight we're going to be dealing with this other letter T. I will reveal this here later on. I don't want to do it too quickly. But let's begin reading in verse number 1. We'll read down through verse number 15 of 2 Samuel. It says this. It says, "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said to him, There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him, and with his children it did eat of his own meat, and drink of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him." Now, understand this, he's talking to David here. Now, David comes upon the scene after this conversation. He says this, "And David's anger was kindled greatly against the man. And he said to Nathan, As the Lord liveth, the man hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." Now we're going to see some words that are some very strong words by Nathan directed toward David. Verse number 7, it says, "And Nathan said to David, Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight?" Now, Nathan is going to go on and begin to tell David exactly what he done. And before I go on with this, I'm going to say this real quick, and I might say this here later on, but be thankful for the friends that are true to you, that are going to tell you the things that you need to hear, even when you don't want to hear them, because they have your best interest. They want to see you be glorifying to God. They don't want to see these unfortunate circumstances come up inside your life. Why is that? Because our testimony is very powerful. Our testimony is what usually begins to minister to the hearts and lives of people. And so we can have things, and it doesn't take much for our testimony, and here's the word that I'm going to use tonight, tarnished. That's going to be our letter that we're going to be studying tonight. So let's begin again at verse number 9. It says, "Wherefore thou hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken a wife Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." And David said unto Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said unto David, "The Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die." That's one of the reasons why it's important to surround yourself with godly influences, godly friends who can bring these things before you so that you can recognize, so that I can recognize our shortcomings, our sin that has separated us from God, to where we can call upon God and seek His forgiveness. This is exactly the admission that David had here in verse number 13. Not too many people want to admit their wrongdoing. Not too many people want to admit their wrongdoing to their friends. And most importantly, not too many people want to admit their wrongdoing before an Almighty God. But we see David here admitting his sin. He says, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Here we see there are consequences that are a result of sin in people's lives. And so because of this deed that was done between David and Bathsheba, a child was born, and now we see something sad that's going to take place. It says at the last part of this verse, it says, unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. To save our time here, to let you know what took place, the child died. And this is where in this chapter you see David having great grieving. But at the end of his grieving, he says this, in these words, not in, in Chad Springer's words, I cannot bring my child back, but I can go to my child. Thankfully, during this time, we see the restoration of David. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we are grateful that we are able to be here tonight. I thank you for your precious word that you have allowed us to read. Lord, there are so many people across this nation, believers, who don't take the opportunity to read your word. And Lord, and when we do this very thing, we're missing out on something very important. And that is having a relationship with you. God, I pray that you would bring this nation back to you, to where we fall down upon our knees and we recognize the way David recognized, and we realize that we have sinned against a great God. Lord, our nation is hurting, our churches are hurting, and God, I pray that you would restore us. I pray that you guide us through these next moments that we have the privilege to be in your house today, to guide and protect us, and we ask it in your name. Amen. This evening, we continue the study of the word fruitful. Tonight's lesson, we will study the letter T, obviously. But I hope through this, God will reveal to you and to myself to what it is that we need from this message. Whenever the word of God is preached, no matter who it is, we should always examine our hearts and our walk with the Almighty God. We should never come to church and think, I hope so-and-so hears this message. But we all should have an attitude, God, what is it that you want me to learn from your word? This story that we just read is that of great heartache. We see a man that was after the heart of God, fell into great sin. And we see this sin was exposed by a man named Nathan. Just like every man and every woman here on earth, David was no different than you and I. David struggled with sin. David struggled with temptation. David struggled with those things because of this. The heart, no matter who you are, the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? And that's something for us to realize this evening, that nobody here is perfect. By the way, I'm not perfect tonight, but I know one day I will stand before an almighty God who will complete that process for me. Amen to that? I'm not going to be speaking about David's sin tonight. However, I will reveal what his sin had done to him. It didn't just affect David, but it affected his whole family and it affected his kingdom. With that being said, don't be fooled. Your sin can be harmful to others. That's the fact. The greatest example that I can give you tonight that I can say that a sin can be harmful to others is somebody who decides for some reason to go out and to become intoxicated and to get behind the wheel and drive off, not knowing what's going to take place because they're not in the right frame of mind. And for some reason, they'll run a stoplight or a stop sign, whatever it may be. Or they will forget to yield at the yielding crossing. And out of nowhere, they will hit another car that's full of children and a mom and a dad. So your sin can affect others, just to let you know those things. We mentioned last week how David wasn't worried about his reputation when it came to worshiping the Lord. We dealt with that during the main service. But in this chapter, we see David's reputation being tarnished. And I want us to understand tonight, when we decide to go against God and to pursue our own lust, we too tarnish our testimony. But with that being said, just because your testimony might get tarnished does not mean that God will not use you. How do I know that? Look at David. God used him greatly. Look at Noah. God used him. God wants to use you. But here's the thing. When you have come to a point when you have that tarnished testimony, and if you want to be used by God, guess what we have to do? God, I've sinned against you. Please forgive me. Help me in this area. That's what we need to do. The letter T stands tonight for the word tarnish. This sin that Nathan just exposed David of was very disgraceful. Lesson to be learned here is this. Never, ever put a man on a pedestal. Why is that? Because the higher you put man up, guess what? When man fails you, he's going to fall. So we shouldn't be here on earth trying to worship man, which honestly, a lot of people worship man. There are a lot of good churches across this country where their people worship the leader that's there. I will say this, that's wrong. When in fact, God is the one that needs to be upon the pedestal. Why? Because God will never fail us. God will never let us down. So with that being said, when we put man upon a pedestal, man will always fail you. And when they fail you, they will bring disappointment in your life as well. I have looked up to men in my life, and I thought, wow, what great men, how they're walking with God and how they have a great relationship. But what I didn't realize, they were a sinner just like me. And it just took one bad decision, one bad choice in their life, 1 second of their life to fall to the ground. So we shouldn't be putting man upon a pedestal because they will disappoint us. I appreciate the fact that David was exposed. I appreciate the fact that he was called out for his behavior. By the way, it takes a true friend to do those things. This wasn't done to humiliate David, But it was done for this, to bring David to restoration. Every time that we come upon a wayward brother or a wayward sister, our duty should not be this: continue to browbeat them while they're in your sin. Well, what do you mean? Oh, I just knew that they were going to fall. I can tell by their walk with God. I can tell just by their attitude. They're just disgraceful. Good for them. I just knew it was just a matter of time. Hold up a second, okay? We're all 1 second away from ruining our lives. And so when that happens, Isaac, the best thing that we can do, instead of trying to browbeat them, instead of doing other things to them, first of all, we need to hold them accountable. This is what Nathan was doing to David. Nathan knew, and he's recognizing the fact, he's going towards a king, a ruler of a country. Imagine that. And he's saying, David, thou art the man. But he didn't do this to bring humiliation to them, which is what we like to do as people. We like to humiliate people. And I'm going to be honest with you, I hate being humiliated. I do. But Isaac, here's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to do this to bring restoration. That's what we're supposed to do. And if any of us have a friend like this, we need to keep them around. We might not like it at the time. We might not like them knowing things about us. We might not like those things. But when it comes to that, those are some good friends to have. What's a bad friend? One who won't hold you accountable. One who doesn't really care that you've tarnished your reputation. One who doesn't really care that you've tarnished your testimony. We need to keep those folks around us who have our best interests at hand. As we continue to go forth here this evening, it isn't the job of a believer to be casting judgment upon others. But rather, it is our job to bring them back to Jesus. Today, we have a problem. We view someone's mistake, and we think it's our job, when that mistake is made, to make it everybody else's business. My brothers and sisters that are here tonight, it's not our job to become the church gossiper of the church and then begin to exploit the sins of other individuals. That's not our job. It's not our job to be ones who are cast judgment upon them. But I believe we do this for many reasons. One of them being, when we begin to expose somebody else's mistakes, when we begin to expose someone else's sin, I believe one of the reasons why we do this, because it takes the eyes off of our mistakes. That's what we really do. Think about this. When a brother or sister or a husband and wife, when they get into a quarrel, why do we bring up past mistakes? Because we want to take the eyes off of our mistakes. Instead of trying to restore each other, we want to begin to blame each other and we want to blab it before the church. So I'm going to say something here. So when we begin to post everything on social media about someone's failures, I'm going to say this. There are some good things about social media, and there's probably about 99.9% bad things about social media. It truly is. Since I'm on this rant a little bit, I don't care what you have for dinner. I really don't. I mean, if you want to put it on Facebook and you're really proud of it, give me a call so I can come to your house and eat it with you. I would appreciate those things. But here's what we do, because we deal with social media today. What we do is we begin to expose everybody else's failures. And how are we any better by doing this? So I'm going to vent just a little bit about social media. Please pay attention as I am saying these things. It is a cowardly way out of speaking to an individual one-on-one. Man up. Go to the individual. Don't make it anybody else's business. It isn't a place to air your dirty laundry. But that's what we do so often. It's not our job to drag other people's names through the mud. It's not our job to drag other churches' names through the mud as well as either. It's not our job to share with everybody else how we feel about an individual. I want you to think about that for a moment. If you as a believer are doing these things, let me finish this comment here. We should not be making comments about your friends, your family, or even your church, because your comments about church are very hurtful. Why would anyone want to come to church when all they see and hear are negative things about your church that you attend? How in the world is that Christ-like? And if that is you today, in the words of Nathan, thou art the man. Your reputation is being tarnished. Your testimony is being tarnished. No different than that of David. The best advice given to me a few years ago was this: your comments can ruin somebody from coming to know Jesus. Amen to that? I had a reality check. Because I believe it or not, I'm opinionated. Sometimes I'm too opinionated. And I fight tooth and nail not to say anything. But it was exposed to me a couple years ago, and it was this: Chad, do you realize what you're saying could cause somebody not to come to church? Is it not our job to win this world, not to lose this world? That was an eye-opener to me. So from that day forward, I love that we have social media. I love that we're able to keep in touch with people through these things. But I've come to realize that's not my place to voice my opinion. Why? Because there are some times that set me off that causes me not to act godly. I will say this. I've had the privilege the last couple of weeks to comment on some Husker things. I was godly about it. They need help. But in the words of Nathan, thou art the man. David can't blame anyone else but himself. It doesn't take but one bad decision to be walking in this world. When we do that and we refuse to seek repentance, we ruin and tarnish the testimony that we had. I love Brother Ron Todd. I know our pastor had the privilege, and you folks that went had the privilege to go a few times to go to Costa Rica. But one thing that has stuck out, as I've heard people say this, because it takes years for him to reach the Costa Rican people. And he says the most powerful way that you can reach the Costa Ricans is through this: the power of your testimony. We as believers need to take our testimony serious and not try to tarnish what God has been trying to do in our life for years. Thank God he is the potter. And every time we mess up his work that he's been doing on us, every time we allow it to be tarnished, God still loves the design that he's made with us, And he just picks that right back up and he continues to mold us. Continues to take away that tarnished image and to bring that tarnished image that we caused ourselves and to bring it back to a shine and luster that it once was. David didn't have to look at Bathsheba, but I understand how this took place. Jeff has an even better picture of how this took place by standing in the house of David as you walk out and everything is down below you. But at the same time, David had a choice that he could have made. One of those choices was this. He could have walked right back into his home. Even though he knew she was there, and even though maybe that first look was accidental, but the second one wasn't, he could have walked right back into his home. But here's what took place. The look turned into lust. And because of this lust, here's what happened. He had to have her. Sad. Why? Because this was another man's wife. A husband that was serving in the army of King David. And King David continued to tarnish his reputation. King David continued to ruin his testimony. The look turned into lust. He had to have her. And he made it happen. Look at this. Because of the position that he was in. He used his office as a tool to act out in his own lust. Why are you saying that? That David used the office? Because I have known many preachers who have used and abused their office for their sexual advantage on women in the church. What's that a problem with? First of all, it's wrong. Second of all, they tarnished their reputation. They tarnished their testimony. Some sitting here tonight with a holier-than-thou attitude, acting as if we have never done anything wrong in our lives. Meanwhile, raging within us is so much hatred and bitterness and even jealousy towards others. Thus causing malice, speaking evil of others, and probably wishing horrible things will happen to those that you despise. I am guilty of that very thing. I have sat around and I said, I wish this would happen to so-and-so. Boy, if I was out in the street late at night and I came upon so-and-so, I wish that I could see a car come by and hit them. I have thought those things. And I can almost guarantee you, you have thought those thoughts as well. We're guilty of those things. So, in the words of Nathan, thou art the man. With that being said, I have some great news for you. Even though your testimony has been tarnished, even though you might have ruined your reputation, my great news that I want to give to you tonight is this. God wants to restore you. When restored, when you go through that process, here's what's going to happen. He's still going to continue to use you for his glory. I take no joy in preaching this message, but sometimes we have to realize we are the very man being described here. For the last several days, the thought has come to my mind, thou art the man. Thou art the man. Thou art the man. we have to be accountable for our actions so that we no longer walk around having a tarnished reputation, so that we no longer walk around tarnishing our testimony. Ladies and gentlemen, our testimony that we have tonight, we have to see the importance of this, is important. Getting back the testimony that we once had is crucial. Maybe you don't see it that way because you are too afraid. Yes, I'm saying this. Maybe you're too afraid to let God examine your heart. You know why we rarely see changes in church, not just here, but everywhere across this world of ours? It's because God's people do not want God to examine their own heart, because they don't want to see how wicked we really are. David, after being confronted, had a realization that he was a man that sinned against God. I know for a fact, even though we've been in church today, I know for a fact every single one of us have sinned. Every single one of us. Whether you had an ill thought towards somebody else, maybe you had an argument with your spouse, maybe you had an argument with your child, maybe even argued about the singer this morning, any of those things. But every single one of us has sinned today. David also would go on. He would marry Bathsheba. Then they would have a child. But that didn't end so well for them. I'm going to say this. Please write this down. Sin always has a cost. You might be able to hide it from individuals. You might be able to hide some things from your spouses or your children, but you cannot hide your sinful heart from God. Sin always has the cost. Well, what was the cost with David here? It was the loss of their child. I've known some people who have lost their children. And I tell you what, I am thankful that God has spared me from that, because I can't imagine going through life knowing that a mother and a father are supposed to leave the world before their children do. The heartache that they face. The lack of living doesn't exist in our life as much as it did before. But David lost this child. Life is not worth going around and tarnishing your testimony nor your reputation. The funny thing, it doesn't take much to fool people. I have come to realize some people are very phony. Even though we can fool each other, we cannot fool God. Why? Because God knows our heart. He knows who has an adulterous heart. He knows who has a heart of hatred. He knows who has a heart of bitterness towards others. He knows who speaks ill of other believers. He sees the tarnished individual, but here's this. All we need to do is admit this before him and say, God, I am the man. Would you please restore me? He wants to restore you. He desires to still use you. All we need to do is swallow the pride that we have and seek God for forgiveness. And maybe seek an individual for forgiveness as well. Let me close with this. Every time I preach a message, I always see, because I always ask, but I see how I've tarnished my testimony. But I'm glad I have a God who forgives me. All we have to do is just ask. He wants to restore you. He wants to take away that tarnished image that we have created for ourselves. David had a choice to make. Unfortunately, David made the wrong choice. David had consequences for his choices. And unfortunately, folks, we make wrong choices too. And I think it'd be good for us to realize something tonight. And maybe we should say this as a church group. Thou art the man. Be tough to say. Why? Because we don't want to recognize our own failures, our own faults, because we think so highly of ourselves. I will take a friend like Nathan any day who's willing to come to me and say, thou art the man, than to have a friend who would not expose any of those things. Why? Because Nathan had a love for David. He wanted to restore David back to where God can use him greatly. Amen? Well, it's been good being here tonight. Hasn't been an easy message, because it's been a message where I've had to examine my own heart. And even though I was done with this a few days ago, those thoughts, every single day, coming back to me, thou art the man. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed tonight. Lord, we thank you tonight that we've been able to be here. Lord, I know that you are speaking to people's hearts because you're speaking to my heart. And God, I just pray that you would just do the work in our lives as we leave from here. Lord, I pray that you just watch over us. I pray that you guide and protect us. And we ask it in your name. Amen.